Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Good Hi, Pastor
morning,
Dave.
Good morning, Cecilia.
Good to be with you again.
And you. How are you doing today?
I am bright and cheerful.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did.
Oh,
just
good.
Kind of relaxed a bit, enjoyed some time in the house on my own. You know. And what about you? What did you do this weekend? Anything interesting?
Oh, let me show you what I did this weekend.
So, where are we going exactly?
Well, you asked what I did this weekend and how my weekend was, so I'm going to show you.
Oh, okay.
And so we got to go outside to the front. And for those who are listening, we're coming out my breezeway door, which is right by my garage. Mm-hmm. And we're going on the driveway about 10 feet forward from the garage to the pathway that leads to my front door. So we're walking on the sidewalk now towards my front door.
Yeah.
On the sidewalk, there's some gravel on the right side. It's actually not gravel. It's a beautiful stone that my wife wanted me to do. And now we have, because the house slopes up, the ground slopes up, we're at two steps.
Okay.
Now, if you will turn to your right
and
feel, you'll notice a wall.
There it is.
And now if you move forward about another foot from the wall.
There's soil.
There's soil and keep reaching a tree.
Oh.
It is a weeping cherry tree.
A weeping cherry tree.
So the weeping cherry tree is only about 6 foot tall, and it'll only be about 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the wall that you felt is actually a curved wall. It does a 4 foot diameter a semicircle as it goes into the hill. And we put this weeping cherry tree right in that semicircle right by the steps.
Very nice.
It's what my wife wanted, and she asked if I would help do it. And my wife loves to do gardening, and oh, you should see the backyard and what she's got back there. Oh, my goodness. She spends a lot of time back there. She's got a section that's probably over half the backyard, left to right, and it comes out about a good 10 feet. She calls it the Grove. She has several trees planted there, and then some ivy and other plants.
Wow.
But to do this, she had to take up all the dirt, of which I helped her do, and then she planted these things. But now, several times a week, she has to go back and weed.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the weeds keep growing up along with the plants she planted.
But how did the weeds get there?
That's an interesting thing. Sometimes it's the birds that'll drop them there. Sometimes the wind brings it there. Who knows how they get there? But if you don't get those weeds out of there, actually some of the weeds will grow more aggressively and take over the plants that you actually want.
But isn't there an easier, more modern way of planting and getting rid of those weeds?
Well, it's interesting you say that. On TV this summer, one of my favorite shows is on.
What's that?
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
You know, I'm new to farming. I was a New York attorney, and some of my friends thought that I was out of my mind to give up a successful practice and move out of the penthouse to devote my life to farming. Now, let me tell you, they are the ones who are out of their minds. Living in a dirty city, pushing and shoving, trying to survive. When a man can have a little piece of land and till it, bring little green things to life, nourish them into maturity, harvest them, and then bring them to the marketplace, knowing that he's making an important contribution to the lifeblood of our economy.
I love that show. And it, because it really shows, yes, there are some ways to do things different, but yet there aren't some ways. Mr. Douglas, as he planted with the old tractor, pulled a plow behind, and it pulled probably three, maybe four rows, and then the seeds go planting in it. Now, that's basically the modern way of planting, where mm-hmm. the plow will make furrows, and you plant seeds in the furrow. And sometimes they go up to 16 rows at one time
wow.
with the tractor. Years ago, in Jesus' day, they didn't have tractors. They didn't. They could plow a little bit, but really a farmer just went out with a bag of seed wrapped around his neck and waist and grabbed a handful of seeds, tossed it. Handful of seeds, tossed it. And so it was even a more scattered, difficult way of things growing, and so the weeds would grow even more.
Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4.
While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that falls among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. I guess we can go on. There's really not much more to say about this parable.
Well, actually, no. There's a couple things. First, What did Jesus say the full yield would be from this seed that he is planting, the Word of God?
A hundred.
Mm-hmm.
A hundredfold.
Do you know what the average and what a good yield was for a farmer way back then?
No.
20 or 30. 20 is a reasonable, 30 is good, 40 is a bumper crop. And so when Jesus said a hundredfold, people went, what?
That's a lot then.
And that's what he wanted to do, is draw their attention to the fact, this is a miracle. That's part of the point of a parable. Ooh, that's kind of fun to say. That's the part of the point of the parable, is that a miracle is happening because it is an earthly story, but with a heavenly meaning. And so it is going to have a twist. It's going to have something extra special.
But why did Christ speak in parables anyway? I still don't totally get that.
All right. I'm going to try something here. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you thinking? Are you clear and minded and ready to go? Okay. The Word of God is planted in the heart. Some hearts don't receive it. Some hearts receive it for the day and then forget it the next day. And others take it, receive it, but then forget about it after a while. And others grow with it all their life long. Okay. Can you now repeat all that for me?
Some people receive it and it just goes away right away. Some people receive it, and it stays there for a little while, but then it goes away. Some people receive it, and it stays there for even longer and starts to grow, but then it goes away. And some people receive it, and it stays there their whole life.
You're sort of correct, but not completely. And that's the point of a parable. What Jesus did was he drew a picture. A picture of first a ground that was hard, and then rocky ground where it would start to sprout and then stop. And you can almost see this picture of the seeds growing and then dying, birds coming and grabbing it. And then the thorny ground where it'll grow up, but then it's choked out. So there are little nuances you missed in all of that that was trying to be described. Parables are that way. It's an earthly story, heavenly meaning. And so there's nuances that are being, not that you take it literally point by point by point, but there are things that are very important to remember so that we won't forget the nuances. It's easy to forget things when they're just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But when we can see it as a picture, then it's so much richer and easier to remember.
So all I have to do is remember the thorns, because the Word of God has been growing in my heart, so I don't have to worry about the rocky soil or the path. So I'm pretty okay with just as long as I watch out for the thorns.
Actually, no. That's an interesting thing about the parable. It always applies to us in all ways. Whenever we hear God's Word, if you're dreaming about what you're going to do in the afternoon, you're not hearing the Word, and it's just like the devil can pick it up and walk it away like a bird from the path. Or if something was going to go on that afternoon and you're thinking about it, but no, I gotta hear God's Word here in church. I gotta understand it, and you get it, but then your mind slips away again and you're thinking about whatever in the afternoon. No, we have to be aware of all four of these all the time. Because it is about each one of us. Sure, there is the macro at the end of time that God is speaking about, but I also think it applies to each one of us each and every day and each and every time we hear God's Word. Continuing, Luke chapter 8, verse 16.
No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Following on that parable with the seed that produces a hundredfold, the seed is planted in our hearts, and it's God's word in us. Now, switching to a different picture, it's like a lamp in a dark room. We become that light, sharing Christ with the world, so that they can see Christ through us.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
And let's read a couple more verses, 19 through 21 of Luke chapter 8.
Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." I think I get it.
Yeah?
Well, first we had the parable about the seed.
Being the word of God.
Being the word of God, yes, uh-huh. Yes. Then we had the parable about the lamp. And the lamp is the light of Christ shining through us.
As God's word works in us.
Mm-hmm. And now we have this episode with Jesus and his mother and his brothers. When we hear God's word, it's planted in us, and when that light of God shines through us to show Christ, we are a part of Jesus' family.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, Cecilia, I think we better stop the podcast there.
Why?
Well, the next episodes all tie together. Even as we heard Jesus speak about the Word of God in his various ways, now we're going to, in the next episode, see him demonstrating the Word of God in a very powerful way. So I'd like to keep that for next time, because it's too hard to break them apart.
All right.
So with that in mind, we'll
since
close,
we have some time, how about some jokes?
Okay, well...
Yeah, like, why do you never tell secrets on a farm?
I don't know. Why do you never tell secrets on a farm? Oh,
because the potatoes have eyes and the corn has ears.
Oh, my goodness.
Why did the scarecrow win the Nobel Prize?
Why did the scarecrow... I don't know why.
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Oh.
What do you get when you cross a robot and a tractor?
A mess?
Not quite.
Okay, what?
A transformer.
Oh.
What day do potatoes hate the most?
What days do Labor Day, Memorial Day? I don't know what.
Friday.
Oh, Friday. Oh, my God.
Oh, did you hear about the magic tractor?
Magic tractor?
Yeah.
No.
It turned into a field.
Oh, boy.
What is the scarecrow's favorite fruit?
Scarecrow? I don't know.
Strawberries.
Gosh. Why did I let you tell these jokes?
What do farmers talk to cows about when they're milking?
What do I, the night before? I don't know.
Utter nonsense.
That's utterly ridiculous.
I know. Why did the hog take a bath?
I don't know. Why did the hog take a bath?
Because the farmer said, hogwash.
Oh.
And last but not least, what new crop did the farmer plant?
I hate to ask. What was the crop?
Beats me.
Please, people, write us and give us some better material here. You can write us at info@not-alone.net. And I'm not going to let her speak again in this whole entire show. Again, that's info@not-alone.net. And remember, we are not alone.
We are not alone.
I will lead you, who are blind by the ways you have not known, along unfamiliar paths. I will guide you. I will turn the darkness into light before you and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake you. Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Green Acres, theme song and clip from episode 1, copyright 1965. The Bill Gaither Trio, This Little Light of Mine, from the album Especially for Children, copyright 1973. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn.